Welcome to the Mira Wine Podcast, Vin Compétent, with Josh, Bryce, and Leah.
What?
The podcast where we drink, talk, and discuss natural wine.
I'm an A-plus student.
And whatever else comes to mind. Hope you're ready for this, because I know we weren't.
I'm like not knowledgeable, but really loud.
And in 3, 2, 1, we're live.
Hello.
You didn't do the whole seat, but I'm going to sell you the edge.
Oh, yeah. You want that one?
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. I'm going to sell you the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
So Bryce and I were talking before you jumped on, Josh, and we are going to do like a Mad Lib style tasting note with our sound bites. So have you ever done Mad Libs before?
Like today? No, not today.
Oh. Another time.
You think we're prepared?
I'm very excited.
A little bit of pee.
it's gonna be awesome. So yeah. we'll plan that.
It was aged in, you son of a bitch.
Exactly. So welcome to Mira Wine Presents Vin Compétent with Josh, Bryce, and Leah, who used to be a special guest. And now he's
a regular person. That was so long ago.
Now not so special.
Well, I posted a clip the other day and my wife watched it and she was like, how long ago was this? You and Josh look really thin.
I have put on some weight.
That was pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Just barely, though.
Oh, that's funny. Did you like my comment on that post?
It's funny because in that episode, when I pulled that clip out, there were like 3 or 4 times where you're just like walking through the background.
Oh, really?
And I thought I had left that part in the clip, but I didn't.
Oh, next time.
But you were just sitting over there.
I mean, I know I'm very, very forgettable, but you guys are not allowed to forget about me.
You just had your hair commented.
And we discovered on the weekend that Leah may be forgettable, except for very old people.
Yes. I went to this bridal shower and the bride's grandmother walked up to me and she said, I know I've met you before, dear, but I'm so sorry, I just can't remember your name. And I said, that's okay, we actually haven't met before. I'm Leah, and I introduced myself, so I'm memorable to the elderly, even to the point where we haven't met before. I must just be that very friendly, approachable face.
That's what I was gonna say.
You're a memorable liar.
Memorable to people with dementia and Alzheimer's. Yeah. That's your wheelhouse.
Ayo.
Hello, dear. You are my granddaughter. Like, sure.
Yeah,
I'll
sure.
take it. I'll take
you
it.
You were my best friend when I was 10.
Oh. Well, thank you to our sponsors.
Yes, Wanner Construction.
Wanner Construction. Apparently, Wanner is suggesting we need to tier our sponsorship.
Our platinum sponsor.
We're gonna send a couple packages for some potential sponsors.
Yeah. Our grand crew.
That's what we need. A grand crew
sponsorship package requires one bottle of Jameson.
A week.
Sometimes. When we run
no
out.
Way.
No, a week.
No. A week?
Yeah.
So we have to drink a whole bottle of Jameson a week?
It's going to happen. Premier Crew would be a bottle of Jameson when you want to give us a bottle of Jameson.
Okay. So anyways, thanks again to our sponsors.
If you couldn't tell,
for all of your nationwide construction needs.
So on a serious note, have you guys seen some of the recent work that Alex has done?
I saw the house that they did. Did you see that?
It's phenomenal. We've been taking this on a roundabout story about what they actually do, but their construction is beautiful.
It was exceptional.
They build stuff.
Yeah.
Manage projects.
If you have the money for an arc, you fucking go with one.
That's right. If you want one of those wine
or
sellers.
Or you're building a horse stable.
Horse stables.
Yep.
Heat sauce rack.
Heat sauce rack.
Like a fucking Lazy Susan heat sauce rack.
Oh.
Thank you, Wanner Construction.
We should get Wanner to build us something for Jameson.
What if we get them to build us like a ridiculous setup for our so you have like a shelf that's 6 inches off the thing.
Oh yeah.
And so it's like we have to like set it all up extra, but for no reason at all.
What do you call those machines that do a very complicated process to complete a very
simple
task?
Know. There's a name for it?
There's a name for them.
It's a Bryce Wilaniak.
No, it's not.
Let's patent the shit out of that.
Hey-o.
Okay, well, Wanner Construction does sponsor our biodynamic calendar guessing Jameson shot
weekly
game. Our weekly, one of our recurring segments. Ooh, I poured myself a little more. That's nice. So let's see.
That's nice.
Do you guys think we're going to be on point like we were last week?
No.
Me neither.
Feels like a rough week.
Yeah.
I had a rough week.
Do you want to tell us about it?
No.
Okay. Bryce?
It's a root day.
Josh?
I think it's a leaf day.
I was
going
to say that.
You know, I'm going rogue here. I think it's fruit day.
Shut up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Leaf day.
Oh, Josh is back.
Man, I am making a little bit of a comeback.
Back in the game.
I'm making a little bit of a comeback.
Officially back in the game.
I don't have any. I don't have any air horns on this yet.
Oh no!
I lost it.
Oh, why?
I got this one.
And I was getting wood.
That's a root day.
Awesome. What are you drinking today, Josh?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What is this? We've had this forever.
I don't think we've ever talked about it on the podcast.
Have we done this for our tasting group either?
No.
I don't think so. No. We need, like, I've been drinking this wine. I poured myself a second glass already. It's delicious.
Yeah. Mm. This is a winery called Monte Segondo, made by Silvio Massana, who I believe, I should have fact checked this before, but I'm pretty sure he was a musician. Mm. He was living in New York. He's from North Africa. And his family had property in Chianti. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were doing much with that. I think they kind of like sold grapes. But his father passed away and he went back home and kind of took over the winemaking for his family and decided to go the biodynamic natural route. Mm-hmm. So the reason we have this wine, like I would say like probably a lot of the wines we have is because like I drank it once 20 years ago, and I remembered it.
Wow.
So I drank this for the first time with John Tricconi, shout out, Bromelier, and Steve and Leslie at Tavern on the Green in Montreal.
Wow.
It was right when I was getting into natural wine. And it was a Cabernet Sauvignon that I had. So it might have been like the Il Rospo is. But it wasn't called the Il Rospo then. Mm-hmm. It was in a Burgundian bottle, I remember.
Yeah.
And I remember the frog with the crown on it.
Yeah.
And I remember drinking it and I was like, oh man, like that was fucking special. Like it was a really, really spectacular wine. And it was only $60 on the wine list back then.
Wow.
Right. Really so good. Like really, really great price.
Yep.
So fast forward to me moving here and then Mira Wine, and I was at Raw in Montreal. Was that 3 years ago, probably 4 years ago? Natural Wine Festival. And I saw his wines there, and I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I forgot about that wine. Like, I saw the label, and it took me back to that memory. And so I went up and talked to them, and, like, I couldn't, like, no one was talking to him. Everyone, like, there's, like, it's kind of funny when you go to, like, those natural wine events, because it's, like, everyone crowded over, like, who's, like, the new, like, cool wine
really?
Maker.
Who's the cool kid?
Yeah, it's like everyone trying to drink fucking Frank Cornelissen wine. It's like a lineup. And I'm like, oh, no, I just want to drink everybody's and see, right? Because like, you know, like you don't need to go and taste that. You know it's good. And you know he's not going to sell it to you because he doesn't need to.
Yeah.
So what's the point? So I went to see Silvio and I was like, oh, I told him the story. He's like, oh, thank you very much. And I tried his wines. And it was actually next to the table, my friend Theo, who owns Onapol in Montreal. So like, Theo reps him.
Yep.
So, you know, got introduced like that way. And that's how we have this wine. It's a long story, but.
Long story.
Do you know, Josh, and so I'm just going to bring that because we got in, we had the Monte Segondo a couple of months ago and then we reordered. Mm-hmm. But when we reordered, we also got Silvio Massano's second label. We got the Bianco and we got the Gazzi. So what's the difference? What's the difference
between the labels?
I know we're not talking about the Silvio Massano labeled stuff, but he still owns this.
And so basically, he's in the region of Chianti Classico, and he does have, which we have here, Chianti Classico, right? So a designated Chianti Classico.
It's one of my favorite wines.
Yeah. And then he has...
I fucking love Chianti, like when it's really, really well made.
It's right in the middle.
So special.
It's like right in the middle of everything. It's like perfect.
It's everything about it is perfect.
Because you can drink it on its own.
Yes.
But it's great with food.
But it's so good with food. Yeah. It's so complex. It's savory, but it's fruity. It's tannic, but it's light. Like it's...
Just think about that. Like Marche. Could be like Chianti, right?
I didn't even press the button.
I know. So what Silvio wants to do is he wants to make really, really fresh, acidic, food-friendly, natural wine. Mm-hmm. So this wine we're drinking here, the 2019, is just the Monte Segondo. It's an IGT. It's Sangiovese. So he's got two plots of land that are pretty close together. One's high altitude, one's lower altitude. And he makes Chianti Classico out of the higher altitude one. And from what I understand, he kind of like makes sure that he will be noticed by the government for his Chianti Classico label. Mm-hmm. So following a bit more of their protocol. Whereas this is more like the way he wants to make it. So apparently he actually harvests these 2 weeks earlier than the Chianti Classico Sangiovese in the high altitude vineyard, mm-hmm. just to get a little bit of extra acidity. He does it in stainless steel, hands-off approach. Fucking beautiful wine.
This look, is look at the so color gorgeous. On
it. Yeah.
It is. It's almost as light as...
And we're both using Leah's
it's almost as light as a Pinot. Like it really doesn't. Really, yeah. It doesn't have, and it has that beautiful like ruby color to it. Yeah.
But you know what I love about this, and going back to something that you always say, Leah, is like this is Tuscan. Mm-hmm. This is a Tuscan wine.
And maybe that's what I love about his wines is he is doing low intervention. He's doing natural winemaking, but it's terroir driven. And that has, I will say it over and over again. I never have hated natural wines. I hate natural wines that when you first taste or smell them, you're like, oh, this is a natural wine. Instead of saying, oh, this is a Tuscan wine. Mm-hmm. This is Sangiovese and it's natural. Ooh, perfect. That's because that's exactly what natural wine is supposed to be about, mm-hmm. representing the terroir. And that's what this is.
So the Silvio Massana label, I think, is 2 years old, if I'm not mistaken. And that's kind of more of like a little fun pet project for him.
Yeah.
So we brought in their...
Well, I gotta say, Gazi. It's working.
Holy shit, was that wine fun.
That Gazi was crazy.
The Gazi we sold in under a week.
Yeah, it was
sold
gone.
In 3 days.
Yeah.
So 20 cases, 3 days.
20 cases, 3 days.
Yeah.
And the Bianco took a little longer to get...
I think it was because it was overshadowed by the Gazi.
We drank the Bianco and the Gazi side by side, and like the Gazi was so much fun and so good that you almost forgot about the Bianco.
But then a month later,
you go back to the Bianco, and you're like, "This is
what
really
the hell?
Good.
Where did
you're
this
like,
come
you're
from?
Like, oh, this is a fucking incredibly delicious orange wine.
This is your sibling.
$20.
Yes.
$20.
Yeah.
So that's all gone now too.
Yeah. For sure.
And the crown cap. When I got
the crown cap is the best part.
They both have crown caps, so the Gazi's a pet.
It tastes good.
The Bianco came, and I knew nothing about it. He was like, we were ordering this again. He's like, hey, do you want to try some other one? I'm like, fuck it. Like this, I like this guy. He's a great winemaker. Let's bring it in and see.
Yep.
And it arrived, and I was like, oh, shit, I didn't know it was like a sparkling wine, like the white. And then I opened it, and it was not.
Yeah, still wine.
Yeah, so he just bought a bunch of, like, sparkling wine bottles, but bottled the white wine in it with a crown cap.
I mean, but like you were describing it, it's a pet project for him, so he's kind of experimenting with it. And when you went back to him, you're like, we need more of this. He's like, no, I don't have any more.
Yeah.
He's like, and I might change it. And because I think you pre-ordered
said,
the
I guess I should. I guess I should make more next year. How much you want? I was like, a whole pallet.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, that's like more than I made this year. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I want that's it all. I want all of don't it. Give it to anybody else then. Fine.
Can you imagine we have the world supply of
that's
Gazi?
The second time we've tried to do that this year.
We did it with Scout too.
Because Scout was like, we got this much wine. And we're like, we want all of it.
Yeah. Like, how much do you want? I'm like, 50 cases.
I want it all.
And they're like, we can do 5?
How do we get ahead of that, though, so that we can take it? Like, then your wine is pre-sold. You don't have to worry about it.
I think they only make 8,000 bottles of wine a year.
Yeah, let's take them all.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Look at us.
World domination.
Dominating the best brands of wine.
Bryce, what do you think of this wine?
I love this wine. Did you think I wasn't?
I'm just very intrigued by how your palate is changing.
My palate is changing, I think, only because, like, my depth of information is changing.
Oh.
Right? I think a little differently about the wine because, like, before it was more all on instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is what flavors are actually going to hit my palate. And now it's less that way. I would say this wine's great. It's well balanced. Not that I need a well balanced wine to enjoy it. We all know me. The weirder, the better most of the time. But this one's really good.
It's delicious.
Yeah. And it's exactly what Leah was describing. It's like fruity, but it's still got like some, like sanguine in the background.
It's definitely some savory.
Meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, some savory notes, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Josh, what do you think
I'm a big fan.
I really like this wine.
Yeah.
I also love the packaging.
I do, too.
Yeah. It's got slick.
Well, it's like a green, classic green bottle. It's not a dark bottle. It's green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never even noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Just very simple. Bryce, what do we want to talk about today?
I can't remember.
You can't remember?
It was about the monopolies.
Oh, yes. We're going to talk about...
oligopolies.
How you get wine. How, not you. Well, I mean...
You, the listener.
The listener.
All of us, actually. But how we all get wine. And how complicated and why the price is what it is at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a lot of, like, mystery behind that on purpose.
Well, and I would say mystery for sure, and also, like, misconceptions, right?
Misconceptions.
People are like, well, why can I buy this wine for $15 and this wine is $30 and it comes from the same country and it's mm-hmm. the same value or mm-hmm. whatever that looks like, right?
Yeah. I also think people don't realize how far some of this wine is coming.
Or the number of steps that it takes.
The number of steps that it takes.
And the amount of time. And also, I think, like, apps like Vivino and Wine Searcher are great, but for this is awful, because when someone, you know, like, even for, let's say, our tasting group, we get, like, you know, they're expecting the wine to be an average of $45 a bottle. And they go on Vivino and they're like, well, this is $26. You're like, yeah, in California.
Right.
Right? Like...
Yeah, where there are no rules.
Change it to Canadian dollars and then tack on $20.
Right.
For nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point about the wine apps, though, too. Like, mm-hmm. be a conscious consumer. Mm-hmm. Recognize that, like, don't just look at a number. Be like, oh, hold on a second. This is in American dollars. Okay, let's think mm-hmm. about that. Let's think about how wine gets brought into the U.S. Mm-hmm. versus how it gets brought into mm-hmm. Canada. Like, all of those things. You can go down in La Vie Ferme. I drink that rosé all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's $15 up here. I went down to Florida. I could buy that for $5 a bottle.
Yeah.
Yep.
$5 a bottle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same wine.
Yep.
Yeah, exact same wine.
So I like that. Like, proceed with caution mm-hmm. on these apps when it comes to price points.
It's mm-hmm. like, think about when you go down to the States and you're like, $30 for maple syrup? This is crazy. I can get it for $6 back home.
But why is it only 50 cents for a case of Mountain Dew?
Yeah. And, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, you're like, I have purchased, when I was a young lad, we were in Rotterdam, New York, on our last night from a trip down to New York City. And we stopped off because we met some members of the opposite sex and decided to party with them. But we had
Frisky
no money.
Night.
We had no money, right? Like, we're 20 years old.
Yep.
And we, like, literally put together our last $26. And we were able to buy 30 beers.
Oh, yeah.
30 beers for $26.
You should be able to buy more than that.
Natty Ice.
Oh, you're buying Natty Ice?
Oh,
I was going to say, were you buying National?
No, we were buying Natty Ice.
Yeah.
Pro tip. Not a tip, but just...
pro tip.
Pro fact.
Pro tip for all you young listeners out there.
If you get hammered on Natty Ice, don't be scared the next day when your shit looks like black tar heroin.
Oh, is that?
It comes out like when you clean out a bong.
Yeah.
Like that sticky black.
Yeah.
That's what your poop looks like.
It must have been something you were eating too.
Just straight up, like, probably, I mean, we're in the States, right? So it's like all you can eat burgers for $1. It's like fucking, it's insane there.
It is.
The food and the alcohol there is insane.
We ordered, I don't know how we got talking about, maybe it was me, but we ordered an appetizer size chili fries when we were down mm-hmm. in the States, and it was the small town we were driving. We were on our way to Seattle, and it was it was bigger than what I would consider to be an entree, and that was their appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we ordered it, and they're like, oh, do you want one each? And we're like, no, we'll just share. It's just an appetizer.
Right.
Can you imagine? If you're appetizer, and we ordered, we got one each? Like, no.
If you're from Canada and you go down to, like, one of those small towns, and you order like you would here, but get like the American size, it's insane. And it's a third of the price.
Yeah.
You're like, oh,
yeah.
do you want, it's like a full fucking liter of cola.
Yeah.
That you
it
get.
Is. Yeah. And they don't give you the option to get the smaller size.
Mm-hmm. No.
They're like, hey, you want the regular size? And you're like, yeah. Well, I'll have a regular.
Yeah.
And it comes in, and it's like a whole bottle. And it's like, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not going to drink this.
Can I get the extra small, please?
Yeah.
It just comes with a 2-liter bottle.
Like, and a straw.
And a straw. Yeah. And like, even like you go to McDonald's and get like a trio or
what's
a combo.
What's a trio?
Oh, a trio was in Quebec back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Or a combo. Like the fry that comes with it.
Yeah.
Is like bigger than any fry you can supersize to here. Like even mm-hmm. the supersize here is like, it's like just like the regular fries.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So let's talk about how wine gets here in the mm-hmm. first place. What's the process, Josh?
Well, we'll talk a bit about...
I guess we're really only concerned about price. So.
Well, the process of how it gets here in different provinces. So most provinces in Canada are a government monopoly. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk based on Saskatchewan, then I'll talk a bit about Alberta too, where it's the opposite. So in Saskatchewan, how it works is it's all run by the government. So how we get wine is we kind of do it as a wine broker with Wolf General Store. But essentially, the government has to issue a purchase order to the winery, right? And they are, okay, this is how much the wine costs. They say, okay. Then our government has a deal with a certain transport company who's amazing.
They are not amazing, and they shall not be named, but they suck.
Yeah. And then they put out an order, and when the transport company goes to the winery and picks up the wine and then drops it off to the closest port, and then it sits in a shipping container until that shipping container is full up, and then it goes through all kinds of ships across the Atlantic Ocean, goes through customs, gets into Montreal. Montreal's usually on strike. and then it gets shipped on a train all the way over here to Saskatchewan, goes to the Saskatchewan warehouse, gets approved here. They lose it for a couple days.
Yep.
Find it, break it. Freeze it. Shake it up.
Do their best to fuck it up.
And then Wolf's General Store essentially like orders it from the SLGA, and then it gets shipped to the SLGA, or to Wolf's General Store, and then us at Homestead order it from Wolf's, and then we sell it to you, the consumer.
And at each point in that process, yes, someone has to make money.
Someone's got to make money in each little step.
And the SLGA makes the most money.
Absolutely the most money. But I want to talk a bit about that because, like, first let's talk about how it works in Alberta. In Alberta, it's the opposite. So in Alberta, as an agent, you send the purchase order and you pay the winery, right? Whereas here, the government is paying the winery.
So the government owns the stock.
The government owns the stock.
Whereas in Alberta, whoever orders the wine owns the stock.
Correct. So in Alberta, the risk is higher because you have to pay for the product, but the reward is higher because, A, their government takes a minute markup. I think it's $4.50 rate.
That's not necessarily minute. It's a flat rate.
It's a flat rate. It's $4.50, whether the wine's $1 or $100.
Exactly.
So the potential to mark up the wine is higher, whereas here, the government's putting on $20.
It's percentage based.
Yeah. So let's say.
Can we talk about the percentage base though, in terms of how they've decided to do that?
We can. Because if you can figure it out.
But what I'm saying is like it's based off of percentage of alcohol.
Oh well, So it's based off of anytime you change something, there's like a different markup. Mm-hmm. But here in Saskatchewan, if the wine is higher than 14.5% alcohol, they double their markup because it's considered a high alcohol wine.
Right. Well, it's considered a high alcohol spirit at that point.
It's considered a high alcohol wine.
Okay. Because that's how they've defined a lot of their categories, by alcohol percentage.
That's the problem is that there is only four categories, I think, mm-hmm. right? So your ports, your vermouths are all considered wine, but they're high alcohol wines, which is a big problem. That's why port here is so expensive.
Right.
Well, my question would be around purpose. So, you know, there is, and I think the government has a role to play in terms of a conscious consumption of alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. So marking up alcoholic beverages that have a higher percentage of alcohol, meaning they're more expensive to the consumer, can potentially deter people from drinking, mm-hmm. which is what you want to do for people. Like there's a reasonable amount of people.
You don't have like air quoting, like a wine that's 21% alcohol for $5. Right. People are getting hammered.
Exactly.
I get that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are they doing the same thing with spirits? So is there a comparable approach?
You can buy grain alcohol.
Spirits? Yeah. And the problem is they don't have a category for port or
it's a wine category. Any of the subcategories don't exist.
So vermouth isn't the wine category.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, the Alberta system is basically private. And what's kind of cool about Alberta is that you actually have room to have wine agents and then also private stores because there is enough of a markup available.
Right, there's enough left on the end of the bottle.
Yeah, like so that an agent can make a living and a wine store can make a living. Mm-hmm. Whereas here, I mean, I don't know how our friend Doug does it to make a living. Like, we don't do this to make a living. And no. I don't see how we ever could, just because the margins are so slim. But, yeah, that's kind of the basic difference. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying one's better than the other. Although one is better than the other.
I'm pretty sure one's better than the other.
I think the problem that we have is just the... When you have a monopoly and you have to work with them and... They can be a little bit antiquated. They can be difficult to work with. You have to use...
Well, they're not consumer-focused.
Correct.
Right? Mm.
Yeah, and, like, the selection is... It's what they want, right? And yeah. They're just looking at, like, oh, well, this sold well. Well, that's the only option. Of course it sold
well. Yeah, exactly. You guys were the only store, too, for how long?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, I mean, we're seeing a bit of that now where, like, you throw in a couple private stores. Like, when was the last time you went to an SLGA to buy something?
All the time. No, I went there. I tried to go in there the other day to find cold beer, and they didn't have the one that I wanted.
Yeah. Mm. Right. So I walked out. Yeah. Like, it's because no one knows anything there. It's like really always dark, and everyone's always got some kind of brace on, a knee brace or a hip brace or.
How is that relevant?
I don't know. Like, what goes on there?
I don't think
everyone's put in a claim.
I don't think that's relevant.
It's weird.
And it goes into the cost of the wine. Like, I don't understand it.
That's the thing, right? Is like if you like, they don't have to be knowledgeable. They don't have to be friendly, which they're not, right? Because they were the only place to get it. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go and throw in a little bit of competition, throw in a co-op, throw in a Metro Liquor, throw in a Willow Park Wines. Yep. Well, all of a sudden now it's like, now they're like, whoa, what, how come those stores are doing so well? Because they're a business and you're not.
Yeah,
because they're client focused.
They're
not.
I think that's the difference. Is they're like, it's about the customer, right?
Yes.
And more now, the customer is demanding more value. It doesn't necessarily have to be like better, but more value. So if I'm spending this amount of money, excuse me, and I can go and I can buy a bottle of wine for $15 at the SLGA, but I'm going to spend $16 going to Willow Park. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go because they might actually recommend something. Like, I'm getting something extra.
I would spend $20 to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I avoid it like the plague.
This is a good example.
It's a great example.
Because this is, what, 2.5 euros?
It's 2.52 euros.
2.52 euros.
Yes.
This is what, Bryce?
This is the...
Azimut Negre.
Cereal Azimut Negre. And it's 2.5 euros, 2.25 euros.
2.52. Leaving.
Yeah, I was good at 2.5.
That's how much the winemaker gets paid.
Per
bottle. How much do we
get
paid?
That's crazy.
How much do we get paid per bottle for this?
We get, what, euro?
We get 0.5 euros on this.
Yeah.
0.5 euros on this?
So the winemaker makes $2.50.
Yeah.
And we make 50 cents.
Yeah.
On this, I would say... The monopoly is making...
Well, so this lands... I would say this lands for rough... Like, we'll say $5 Canadian after our markup.
That's what it lands at?
No, it would be closer to 10.
Yeah.
After the euro?
Yeah. So, like let's say it leaves at $5 Canadian.
Oh, so, but I'm just saying the SLGA would pay the winemaker for this.
Oh, yeah. For five... They would pay, like... $4 Canadian.
$4 Canadian.
$4 Canadian. That's how much they're paying.
Plus, they have to put shipping on it.
Yeah.
When it gets here.
Which they put a markup on.
Which they put a markup on.
And taxes, which they put a markup on.
Which they put a markup on. And then...
An environmental fee, which they put a markup on.
And then when we buy it from the SLGA, or when Wolf's does, he buys it for $13, $14-ish, somewhere in that. Yes. And then we turn around and sell it for $16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a huge price discrepancy in there.
Yeah. So I brought... We were talking with the guy who brings us in, like, so think about Alberta, right? You can, like, that wine would land at $6. You can sell it to a store as the agent for easily $10.
Yeah.
Easily $10.
Yeah.
You make $4 a bottle, right?
And then it can go on the shelves for 12 or 13.
No problem.
If it needs to.
Makes their margin, everyone makes their money.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have roads and hospitals and the whole thing. It's crazy.
What they seem to be doing, though, is definitely, like, kneecapping the consumer. What they thought they were doing is protecting the consumer, and what they were doing is they're destroying the consumer. Well, they're not giving them any choice.
Exactly. you're like, look how much fucking beer costs here.
It kind of goes back to competing on quality, right? Mm-hmm. Because Josh, you talk about this all the time. Homestead is, in my opinion, the best restaurant probably in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody to compete with. So like, come, try, do something better, because that's only going to make me better. That's going to make the consumer allow the consumer to have more options to go see.
Yeah, our wines aren't good. We're just the only ones out there.
Okay.
I'm joking.
Our wines are really good.
I think competition breeds excellence for sure, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's gotten to a point. I think there are some... You know, and people will complain all the time. That's our human nature. So, like, when I lived in Quebec, everyone complained about the SAQ, which is literally like the mafia or the LCBO, right? The biggest wine purchaser in the world, alcohol person in the world. And everyone always complains, oh, they're a nightmare. And then I tell them about stuff that happens to us here, and they're like, that is insane. And I'm like, yeah, like, I mean, it's all relative.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, look at this, like... It's when you get more, you want more. Like, look at the selection of wine you have available to you at a liquor store in Quebec.
Right.
It's exceptional.
Yes.
Right. At a government-run liquor store here,
nothing.
It is an actual
nothing.
Practical joke. Like, it's a fucking joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, you know, they're still going to complain in Quebec because, like, they can't get this. Why don't they bring in this particular wine, right?
Right. Right.
Whereas here, we're like, they don't even pick up in certain countries, like Austria.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even pick up in Greece. Like, and so, like, you can't even do that. Mm-hmm. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't.
But somehow we do.
Mm-hmm. That's how we figure out a way to do it, right?
Yeah.
not against the law, by the way.
Not against the law.
Above board.
We just board. Fly over there.
But think about
put
that.
It in
think
our
about
suitcases.
That. So we talk about competition breeding excellence. It's almost like our government, which should be working with us, is our competition. And we have to find ways to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're trying. Like, they don't want to do extra work. Why would you? Mm-hmm. We're annoying. They don't get paid on commission. Mm-hmm. It's extra work for us to do special order desk.
Well, but even then, right? Like,
and they're
why would they want us to sell wine?
Because they're going to...
They don't.
That's the thing. Because...
That's what they think.
The government makes money
make
no matter
money
what.
On it.
But, like, the employee doesn't make any extra money.
No. Mm-hmm.
But like, whoever is the head needs to recognize... Same thing with the off-sale permit. You're going to make more money.
100%.
Why don't you do it?
Because
it's more work. We have to make new rules. Oh, shit. I got a 12 o'clock tea time. Fucking see you later. And I shouldn't say. Some people that we work with...
Very good.
...are very good. Other people... are I don't even know how to describe it.
Not good. That's pretty simple. Let's talk about BC wine though, because here's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
This wine is $15 and we buy it for 2.5 euros.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's coming from Spain.
Mm-hmm. That's a long freaking ways away.
Mm-hmm.
The wine in our backyard is $40-some on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Or more.
Several reasons for that. Do you want me to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Number one.
We got a little time.
Government being involved, not only in our side of things, where they make the rules, government being involved on the other side. BC winemakers cannot sell their wine for less than X percentage of what it sells for in their winery.
Right.
So even if they wanted to.
It's not the winemaker's fault in BC.
No.
It's basically that the winemakers in BC don't have a choice as to what they want to sell.
Right. If you want to make a living.
You want to make a living, you got to sell your wine for, let's say, $20 a bottle, right?
Yeah.
At the winery. Cool. That means that you cannot sell it to another province. I don't know exactly what the percentage is, but I would imagine it's probably like $12 would be like the lowest you could go. Our government puts the same markup on a wine from BC as it does from France or mm-hmm. Italy or Spain. So the transport costs is...
significantly less.
So it's 75 cents instead of $1.50, right? That's so it's significant, like it's half, but it's fucking not even a dollar.
Right.
But that markup is still going to be X percentage,
mm-hmm.
right? So even if the winemaker, and then they're selling it for $12, which is not a living, like they can't make a living off that.
Exactly.
Right? So they've got to sell it for, mm-hmm. let's say, 15.
I don't even think they can go that low.
Yeah.
I think their percentage points are like super, super slim.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can only sell it for like $2 or $3 below what they.
Yeah. So they
sell it to consumers.
You know, and that's why it's $55 on a shelf at Wolf's, and you can buy it at the winery for $30.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. $15 extra. It's fucking two provinces away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Canada. Mm-hmm.
Support local. Right? Saskatchewan yeah. government.
And the BC government as well.
And BC government.
They do, like, so they control the pricing, basically. Yep. So it's like a perceived amount, a perceived quality mm-hmm. for Okanagan wines in particular. But also the markup that, they, like, if you're in BC and you import a wine from France, or even if you bring in a French wine, the markup is significantly higher than they put.
Oh, they're regional markups almost.
Oh, yeah. Because they want BC to look affordable in BC compared to the expensive French wines, right? So, like, if you look up wine that we bring in, I wonder if there's an example I could think of like a private, because they have like kind of like some private stores in BC. I'm not really sure it works there too mm-hmm. much, but it's like a mix of Alberta and Saskatchewan. Like, so let's say like the Dealer Cadet Pinot Blanc, like it would be $40 on a shelf there.
Right.
It's 35 here at Wolf's.
Yeah.
So it's more expensive because mm-hmm. the markup there is higher because it's mm-hmm. from France.
Mm. How does that relate to the conversation we were having around New World wines and perception about that? Remember when we were talking mm-hmm. about the Lightning mm-hmm. Rock Chardonnay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And how it's comparable to a white Burgundy and it can compete on that. Mm-hmm. Yet at the same time, we're challenged because we know actually how much that wine costs at the winery mm-hmm. and it's two provinces away. Mm-hmm. So are we actually willing to spend that on it? So do you think there's any impact that the pricing has within our country across the different monopolies on our perception of how wines can compete, New World, Old World?
I think it would depend on the province. So I think I might have the best perspective on this because I grew up in Quebec where we do not drink Canadian wines. It's like not good, right? We're like, no, we don't make good wine in Canada.
Yeah, but you're very like, you have huge regional biases regardless. Like you do.
Yeah, but
we know that.
But I'm saying, as someone who has been in the restaurant industry, like when I was younger, like
that's fine.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like that you've been living in Regina for what, mm-hmm. 10 years now?
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, whereas here, people are more willing to spend $50 on that Lightning Rock Chardonnay
than they would be out.
Where in Quebec, trying to sell Lightning Rock Chardonnay yeah. for $50 on the SAQ shelf?
Yeah.
It wouldn't move.
Which is crazy.
Even if
because it's comparable. It's comparable in price point, for sure.
We would never admit it. They would never admit it. I mean, it's getting better now because like Prince Edward County was putting out mm-hmm. some great wines. There's a lot of actually local wines that are doing really well mm-hmm. in Quebec. But like I'm talking like 10 years ago, no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it would get laughed out of the store. Even though I think it's fucking phenomenal for sure. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to change my views, and maybe that's why I have like such a skewed view of that.
So, right?
So where it's like $50, so I'm gonna buy Burgundy.
Yeah.
Well, do you think that that price deterrent that's been put on the BC wines is causing some BC wines to like be like, oh well, we gotta up our quality if we're gonna sell it X dollars. Like, do we actually think that's happening?
I don't think like the wineries that we work with, they're gonna do that regardless, right? They want to make the best wine.
I was just gonna say the wineries that we work with, it's not actually about the money; it's about mm-hmm. the wine mm-hmm. and whatever they can or should or whatever charge for the wine. That's sort of irrelevant because it's what's in your glass that matters to them and not the money, which
and I bet you like let's use Lightning Rock as example. Imagine you're charging let's say $25 to your winery for their wine and it's fucking real good.
It's the tits.
It's real good. And then you go and you go to Mission Hill and you have their single vineyard dog shit, whatever. And it's and it's $48, right?
A dog shit in this vineyard.
Yeah. And like when I went there, they're like, this wine all comes from the same vineyard and we grow the grapes. I'm like, oh, do you mean how wine's supposed to be fucking made?
You mean?
Congratulations.
How else do you make wine?
Yeah. So like, how are the other wines made? but like, you know, imagine you being Jordan and Tyler and you go and drink that and you see people walking out with cases of this overpriced horseshit. Aren't you going to be like, fuck that? We went to a restaurant
overpriced
the other day.
Horseshit, dude.
Remember, we went to a restaurant the other day that was fucking brutal. And it was so expensive. And I literally left and I was like, I need to double the price of everything at Homestead.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I literally had to cut that part out of the last podcast. Dude, and I mean, yet so, like, you bring it up again.
But don't you, like, so to answer the question, yeah, I think, like, if I was them, I'd be like, well, we should charge more for this. Even though, right, because it's hard to, like, yes, there's certain costs that go into it. And you go, okay, this is, so it costs us $6 to make this wine, and we need to make $10 to make a living.
To break
even. So the wine's $16, but it tastes really fucking good. And you taste a wine that you know costs less to make because it's all commercialized and it's twice as much. Aren't you being like, fuck that, let's charge 22.
Who are you comparing yourself against, though? Are you only comparing yourself to BC wines? Maybe you're not.
In BC, I think you have to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because nobody, like, especially in the Okanagan region, like, not many people drink things other than wine from around there.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's so readily accessible.
Well, why wouldn't you? So, right? Like, you should be supporting your local agriculture.
It's very similar to here.
Yeah, but the government's
we do the same thing with beer here, right?
Yeah. Like,
we all support
absolutely
local breweries, and it's not like it's cheap.
No, because the government's involved in that again.
Yes.
Yeah.
Going back to the wine that we drank today, the Monte Segundo, 2019 Sangiovese Rosso. What, where does this sit in terms of price point?
On the shelf?
I think it's
under 30.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Yeah, yeah.
I think I was thinking of the Il Rospo.
Rospo?
Yeah.
I think this is like $26, $27.
Yeah, it's an under $30 bottle of wine, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and in that sense, it's fantastic. So whether,
it comes from Italy, it comes all the way across from the fucking ocean.
And Italian wines are, in my opinion, like good entry level for Saskatchewan people wines.
Yeah.
Italian wines.
What do you mean by good entry level for Saskatchewan people?
Well, because like
entry level to what?
Their flavor into wine,
into like non-commercial wine,
non-commercial wine, new world.
Right?
Yes.
You want to like you drink Apothic, you drink. I'm not comparing the two. If you want to venture out and try something that's not commercially made,
Italian is the way to go.
Okay. What do you think?
I don't think I agree with that.
What would you drink? Yeah. What would you give some? Why Spain?
I agree with Leah.
Is it the price point?
No,
it's the structure.
It's the structure.
The style.
Yep.
Like,
I think Spain has too much acidity for people.
I would say that Italy has too much acidity for people.
If you want to drink, you got to drink some northern Spanish wines.
Yeah.
If you want to like do a good segue.
Yeah. Right. So where are you going to find those?
No. That's not true.
At fucking Metro Liquor. At fucking Co-op. At Willow Park Wines. That's where. You know where you're not going to find them? Oh, damn.
Can you pour me another little sip of this wine, and then we're going to wrap up with our final recurring segment.
We failed you. This is 51 minutes.
It's actually 10 minutes shorter.
Yeah, that's why I was okay. A little bit.
Yeah. So thank you. Our final segment is sponsored by Funtime Heat Sauce at this moment.
Why though? Just because
I needed another segment.
Kenny sent me a text. He's like, your heat sauce is on the way. And I was like, okay, cool.
Cool.
So
this was the last chance.
Yeah.
This is the next podcast.
Kenny.
We were going to have one sponsor again.
Yep. Back to one.
Josh, how many days of the week would you drink this wine?
Four.
Cool.
Yeah. I really like it.
I would drink this. I was going to say three, but I think I'd rather drink it five.
Whoa.
Three to five?
Well, I was like, I don't want to drink it in the middle. I'm either going to go, I'm going to go hard, or I'm just going to sit back a bit. Yeah, I think it's super approachable. I feel like I could drink it a little chilled on a 36 degree day
was yesterday.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be offended by it.
Yeah.
And it goes good with all food. This, like, if we could get this at the price that it should be, it would be all the time.
This is a 6 year old bottle of wine.
Yeah. Like,
this is a 6 out of 7 for me.
Whoa. Yeah, that's what I mean. Right.
I love this wine. This is everything that like an entry level Italian wine should be for me. An entry level Tuscan wine.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with you.
This is it. There's nothing better.
And it's kind of fun because like it is like
it's
color's
light.
Lighter, but the color's lighter than I feel like the mouthfeel is. Mm-hmm. Right, like it looks like it looks like Gamay or Pinot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a little bite to it. It's got a little.
And it doesn't have like a whole lot of tannin behind it.
No, but just
it's like, there.
Just there.
It's there, and that's why I think like a lot of Italian wines in the lower price point are good for people to try.
I disagree with that statement.
Go ahead. That's why.
Do we have time?
Bring it.
I think that if you're going to go with France, Italy, and Spain, let's just go with those three countries.
Yeah.
The best bang for your buck for low-priced wines is going to be France.
France?
No.
No, you're wrong.
And they're not accessible. You are so wrong.
No, like if you can choose, like if you like.
Yeah, I meant like.
You can pick anything.
No, I meant, but like to the consumer.
Oh, I thought like based off of what's in our market?
No. I'm saying like in general. In general, the best bang for your buck quality wise you can get is from France.
Yeah, I don't think.
You think it's Spain?
Yeah.
I don't think French wines are approachable. I agree more with Leah than I do with you.
See, but I think though. What I'm saying about Italian wines, though, is like in that 25 to 50, that's Italy's sweet spot for me. You can find some fucking gems, but you got to spend a little bit more. Whereas I feel like France, you can get some real good. Like for me, it would go France, Spain, and then Italy for that low.
I think we could. Wow.
And maybe I'm too focused on what's available in the Saskatchewan market.
That's how I feel.
Like, I feel like in France in general, in Saskatchewan, there's nothing.
There's nothing.
Unless you're drinking from our portfolio, there's nothing.
You drink some of Doug Reichel's French wines.
No, they're Portuguese.
Oh, they're all Portuguese.
They're Portuguese, Argentinian, French. I'm jaded in that sense in terms of what's available here. But I also, I don't know.
I know.
Maybe I just
jaded.
I haven't had exposure to French wine under $20.
Mm-hmm. See, like we're growing up in Quebec, like. That's the biggest selection we have is French wines under $20.
Yeah.
Right.
And what's funny about that is having grown up in the industry in BC, Italian wines under $20 are the way to go.
Yeah. See, like my experience with Italian wines is like the lower ones, I'm like, meh, it was okay. But then you get like $25, I'm like, holy fuck.
So why do you think they're okay versus a French wine? Like what makes...
Is it style? Is it preference?
It's style.
It could be. Because like those under 20 ones are like from French. Like I'm thinking more like you can get a real good Pinot Noir from Loire or from Languedoc, right? For $15.
Right.
Like delicate.
That's crazy.
See, delicate. But like you're like...
Can you bring me some back?
Yeah. I'm going in
like, August. Can you just take like a whole suitcase
and
bring me some back?
My friend, my best buddy, Big Joe... is going, he's like, hey man, by the way, I'm going to Prince Edward County next weekend. You want me to bring anything back? And I'm like,
yeah, all of it.
$500. Don't buy any Norman Hardy wine. But like, bring me back some stuff from Grange and like, just go to the store and like, spend some money. And he was like, I don't like wine. I don't want to go to a winery or to a store. I need you to give me a list.
You're in the wrong.
And I'll pick it up for you.
Yeah. I'm like, just go to the store, Joe.
Just pick some stuff off the shelf, man.
So I think I'm going to have him maybe like, buy some stuff. You guys haven't had Grange A from Prince Edward County. It's really fucking good. We actually brought it in before. Mm-hmm. It was like 8 years ago.
Cool.
But it was too expensive to bring in.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's the problem.
Not their fault. Again, not their fault.
Yeah. So my only problem with Spanish wines, Leah, is that I think we have the only good ones. So I'm speaking from most people's.
That's good. I'm going to go to the liquor store. I'm probably going to go to Willow Park. And I'm going to buy you two or three Spanish
wines.
That's
cheating. You have to go to the SLGA. I challenge you to an SLGA off.
I'll go to the SLGA.
We, nobody wins.
I will pick.
We all lose.
Three.
No, I have a different challenge. We go to the SLGA and see who can pick the worst wine for the most money.
The worst wine for the most money? Yeah.
They had a wine there once that had a poker chip built into the bottle.
I like that challenge. I'm also going to take you. I'm going to get you some. Yeah. I'm going to get you some cheap Spanish wine that
I think
you're going to love.
Yeah.
But I love that challenge. Get the shittiest wine for the most amount of money.
Like, you have to go in and talk to someone who works there.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, my strategy would be like, excuse me, employee, with your wrist brace.
Can you take the wrist brace out of it, please?
That seems a little like...
What is your favorite wine in the store? If you're going to... And whatever he picks, I'm like, this is going to be
this
the worst.
Is it.
That's what I'm picking.
Oh, see, I would say... I would describe Chet and say, what does Chet come in and buy?
I got a friend.
Chet only shops with us.
He just got a job promotion.
Chet is an anomaly. What do Chet's friends buy?
What do Chet's friend buy? They buy Pilsner and Minhas Creek. Because you can get bottles of lemonade in the 9-liter bottles or something like that. Anyways.
Okay. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted. Okay.
Let's report back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we will. We'll have him on the podcast.
Who, Chet?
No.
I could bring Chet on the podcast.
is there a way that we could, like, is there an at-home residual sugar testing kit that we could get?
I wonder like how pH would play into that, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's figure this out.
Okay. Thank you guys for listening to the extended ending of Fin Compétent with Josh, Bryce, and Leah. Check us out everywhere. Follow our sponsors and us. We will hang on. Good thing. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I was just going to help you.
Do it every time.
I was just going to help you say, like, our sponsors are Wander Construction and Funtime Heat Sauce. Check them out on social media. We're also there at Mira Wine. All podcast platforms.
Good job, Leo. We'll see you guys next week.
I'm kind of a big deal.
That was the Mira Wine podcast with Josh, Bryce, and Leah. Want to learn more about natural wine? Find us on the internet at mirawine.ca or on any social media platform. Thanks for listening.